Vox.com recently wrote, on March 1, the federal government is scheduled to hit the debt ceiling, running out of legal authority to borrow money, a potentially crippling problem because trillion-dollar deficits require regular bond sales to keep money flowing, end of quote. By the time this airs, March 1 will have come and gone, but the issues still remain the same. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. We're going to talk about the budget and the debt ceiling issue and fiscal irresponsibility on the part of our government. And our guest is Sarah Anderson, Federal Affairs Manager for FreedomWorks, based in Washington, D.C. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry, thanks so much for having me on. You hit the nail on the head. We really do have fiscal irresponsibility here in our nation's capital, in our government. We elect our members of Congress to take care of the country, and they're by and large not doing that. So always happy to highlight this disaster and see what we can do about it.
Okay, you recently wrote an article for FreedomWorks, and you said this, quote, debatedly, the most important power delegated to Congress is its power of the purse. However, it never uses this power correctly. I'll stop you right there. Why don't you comment on what you just said in that article?
Yeah, I think Congress really never does use its power of the purse responsibly, because using it responsibly would be only spending the money that they have and only spending it on money on things that we need to be spending our money on, essential services to take care of the things that are outlined in the Constitution. No more than that, and certainly not all of the things that the government is looking to do today. I mean, we spend $4 trillion annually in our federal budget, and Congress only actually annually appropriates about $1.3 trillion of that. That was the budget for last year that Congress went through and passed. The rest of it runs on autopilot, so that remaining $2.7 trillion comes in the form of autopilot mandatory spending for programs that Congress doesn't have the wherewithal to reform because it's politically difficult to do. And then the other portion of that is simply paying interest on our national debt that's just reached $22 trillion. That is absolutely not using the power of the purse responsibly, and it's not what's responsible for the American people.
Wow. So, wait, go back to this thing about there's kind of an autopilot system then of spending the money, so that even if the federal government said, all right, this year, I mean, they wouldn't do this, but if they said, okay, we're not going to spend a new dime of spending, there still would be, what, $2.7 trillion being spent by the federal government because of its money that's already allocated for things like Social Security, which people have paid into, Medicare,
yep,
Medicaid, et cetera.
Right. Yes, that's exactly correct. We have about three-quarters of our federal budget, give or take, at this point, runs on autopilot. It didn't always used to be that way. Before the advent of these entitlement programs that came around in the mid-1900s, exactly, you name them, Social Security, Medicare, the growth of Medicaid, especially the growth of Medicaid post-Obamacare, that open-ended entitlement that states have taken to get as much money out of the federal government as they can. All of those programs, Congress does not have to annually approve spending for those. They run on autopilot. They're known as mandatory spending. The portion that Congress actually does control is very small, about 25%. And as our mandatory side of spending grows and the spending that we have to finance interest on our national debt grows, the consequentiality of the 25% that Congress appropriates annually goes smaller and smaller and smaller. Republicans and Democrats quabble back and forth every year on this appropriations process of how much money should we give to discretionary defense spending and how much money should we give to non-defense discretionary spending. But really, as the years go on and on, that piece of the pie shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, and Congress is just by and large completely failing to address the main problem, which is this autopilot spending.
Right, but then if anybody takes seriously, okay, we're going to go ahead and have some Social Security reform, well, that politician right. might as well sign his own political death warrant.
Right, but that's exactly the point here. We have members of Congress who are elected to do a job that's not supposed to be an easy job. That's why there's only 435 members of the House of Representatives and 100 members of the Senate. That's 535 people of our entire country who are elected by the American people to do this job, to take care of the country, to take care of the country's future. they should be less concerned about their reelection and more concerned about doing the things that are right for the people who voted them and for those people's children and their grandchildren down the line. Because with $22 trillion of debt, it's unsustainable. You wouldn't run your own household this way, by being so far in debt and running so much of what you do on credit and on the faith of other people to back what you're doing and your good faith to be able to pay off that debt. Eventually, you're going to reach a cliff.
Wow. Can you explain to us debt ceiling increases? I can see the concept, but how does that actually work in our Congress? Debt ceiling increases.
Right. So in our Congress, we have what's called a debt ceiling in our government, which is how much money the federal government is allowed to borrow to spend what they're spending to finance our $4 trillion annual budget.
We need that.
A debt ceiling, yes. Oh, absolutely. It's similar kind of if you think about, you know, your monthly credit card limit, right? Say you come up with, an expense, your refrigerator breaks or you need to buy a new TV or something hits your roof and you have to repair your roof. Those are unexpected expenses that you are going to have to take care of. And then so you may call your credit card company and ask them for an increase in the amount you're allowed to spend that month to take care of the unexpected expense. And that's what Congress used to do. Similarly, back in 2011, Democrats wanted to raise the debt ceiling by $400 billion. And Republicans said, hey, if you want to raise the debt ceiling to pay for this stuff, we want some type of spending restraints. And so what they ended up getting, Republicans got out of this debt ceiling increase fight, was the Budget Control Act caps, which put some type of caps on the discretionary spending, the 25-ish percent of spending that Congress appropriates annually. Now, those caps have been busted through by Congress because they voted every other year to spend above the caps that they had set for themselves back in 2011. But at least it gave fiscal conservatives a chance to say, hey, if you want to raise the amount of money we're able to borrow, we want at least something to say, let's put a cap and at least try to meet this goal for this small portion of our budget, right? It was some level of spending restraints. This year, unfortunately, what we're looking at and what has happened in the past is a debt ceiling suspension, which means not only you're not just calling your credit card company and asking them to give you an extra $1,000 to spend this month, you're calling them and asking them to give you unlimited spending this month. And that's what Congress is doing. And by and large, even the people in Congress don't know exactly what all of the money that they're appropriating is going toward. And that's a scary concept, and it's certainly not fiscally responsible.
Yeah, and now we even have new socialists who are saying we need to spend even more money.
Yeah, and that is a tragic scenario. What we're looking at now, we're approaching 100% of our gross domestic product in our national debt held by the public. When you get towards those unsustainable levels of debt, you already experience a drag on the economy from the amount of debt that we're having to finance every year. Unfortunately, Democrats and the new Democratic Socialist wing of the party is pushing these agendas that would double or even triple what we're spending annually. Just yesterday or the day before, a new study came out about the new Green New Deal proposal, estimating that it could spend up to $93 trillion over 10 years. $93 trillion is more than three times our current national debt. And if you divide that up into 10 years, $9.3 trillion annually, that would more than triple what our current spending is annually. From $4 trillion, add 9.3, you're at $13 trillion, which is more than triple the current four that we spend. And that type of deficit spending, you ask these Democratic Socialists how they pay for it, and that's not even a question in their mind, but it would be the first question in anybody's mind for running their household or running their business. And that's the way Congress should run, and these folks are not living in reality.
Yeah, and the worst part of all this, I mean, to me, that the most amazing thing is it's all based on a faulty premise, because here's the bottom line. If the United States were to follow, let's say, all the protocols of the Paris Accord and so forth, not only would we spend these kinds of trillions of dollars we don't have, but at the end of the century, we would be able to reduce carbon emissions by something like, or reduce rather the temperature by less than 1 degree centigrade.
Right.
And so it's like, okay,
right.
Come on. Why are you going to bankrupt the whole country to do this. And meanwhile, if there are, you know, some bad actors in this, the economy of China and the economy of India are definitely polluting and so forth. So, Andy, this is just crazy. But it's, to me, this new socialism would just take this existing problem and then take it even that much worse. It's almost like, hey, let's change America into Venezuela.
Right, and it's interesting because when you talk about this new socialism wing of the Democratic Party, you heard President Trump in the State of the Union address say that America will never be a socialist country, and it's amazing that one even has to say that these days. America is the freest country in the world, and it was founded on these principles of individual freedom, of individual liberty, and keeping the influence of government accountable to what the people want. And we here at FreedomWorks as limited government advocates believe that the market can address these things infinitely better than any government program ever could. But proposals like the Green New Deal, right, that want to eliminate air travel, invest in high-speed rail that has proved to be boondoggles across the country, take our healthcare system and nationalize it, make Medicare for all, right? You no longer are the days of Obama's if you like your plan, you can keep your plan, even though that turned out to be a lie. They're not even promising that lie anymore, right? There's no fear of, on the left, of taking all these programs and letting the government run them entirely. And that's antithetical to the way we've done things in America and the way that we should continue to do them that allows people to control what they want in their own lives. And all of this ties back into the spending problem because we just don't have that money to spend. And to look at it and say it doesn't matter how we pay for it because we need this is just reckless.
George Washington gave his farewell address through the newspapers in, you know, when he retired. And he, one of the things he says in that is avoid needless spending, especially during peacetime. You know, don't, you know, cherish the public debt, but don't increase it, especially during peacetime. And essentially, this is all peacetime type spending that we're seeing at work. Who will ultimately pay the price for Congress's fiscal irresponsibility?
Well, it's already, you see, it's the taxpayers who are paying for it. And Democrats want to impose a 70% top tax rate on the top earners in the country. But in reality, that won't even come close to covering the proposals that they want to do. So down the road, when we have, we're already at $22 trillion. If you put in something like the Green New Deal, who can even predict what, you know, the debt is going to be come 10 years from now? And all of that, when it comes crashing down, which it inevitably will, it's not going to be the people who are in Congress right now who are bearing the brunt of that. It's going to be, you know, my children, your children, all of our grandchildren down the road that have a global recession on their hands. Because, of course, unlike Greece, the United States is not going to entirely default on its debt in the traditional sense because we print our own money. But we'd be faced with a situation of hyperinflation, right, creating a global recession. And that's not something that anyone can be comfortable putting their children and grandchildren through.
You know, and we even still have inflation. We have about a minute left, but just real fast. My wife and I were rewatching It's a Wonderful Life during the holidays, and George Bailey's in trouble because $8,000 is missing. Well, I did a little Google search to see what would $8,000, 1946 dollars worth, equal today, and the answer was $108,000 or something like that.
Wow.
So I thought, wow, this is amazing. So $8,000, then that means we are having inflation. Okay, 30 seconds to close on this problem of runaway spending.
Yeah, so we're looking at a situation where Congress is irresponsible with the funds of the American people, and they're covering their own tails by putting taxpayers on the hook. And when we do this over and over and over again, we're inevitably going to get to a crisis. And unfortunately, this newest debt ceiling debacle of suspending the debt ceiling is another step in the wrong direction. So we need fiscal responsibility. We need to balance the budget, employ something like the penny plan to get our finances back under control and ask our members of Congress to run the government like they would run their own household. And that's really all there is to it.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. FreedomWorks.org for more information. Sarah Anderson. Thanks again, Sarah.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye now.